I'm making a move. Study long, ain't nothing gonna happen on the song. I'm making a move. Don't need no hickeys for this song. I got joy all through my soul. I'm making a move. Get up, get out, Mr.
Hey guys, welcome to Live with Lauren. I am so happy to be doing this again on YouTube. So if you guys are new, hi, my name is Lauren Taylor. And I am doing Live with Lauren, which is a new show of mine. My first show. Basically, I have guests on here, or sometimes I'll do them by myself, but it's just all about girl power and education on, you know, content creation, following your dreams, just really all the things that I love and know that you guys are going to love too. Hi, Selena. Thank you so much for joining. Hi. All right, so I am going to add in Hannah. So if you guys don't know, Hannah is this phenomenal, amazing person. Her and I have been friends for a really long time. She actually started out helping me with my magazine and being on my team, and she's just blossomed into this phenomenal boss girl. I mean, she is still in college, and she's already done so many events, and she's launching her own product, and this girl is just unstoppable. So I am so grateful and just so very blessed for her friendship and for me to just have her on here. So hey, how are you? Thanks for having us. Oh my god, of course. No, hey, everybody is welcomed, and I am just I'm so excited that you're here. So I am going to go live with her now, and let's see here. So, and you guys can definitely ask questions and everything as well too.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. Hi. So I am going to.
Should I go sideways? I have to. I'm working it through my phone.
I don't know if sideways actually, or no. I think that's totally fine. So, okay. Just give me 1 second. I'm gonna do. Let's see here. Gonna add you in like this. Oh, I have to unlock the screen. Wow, learning so many different things. Yay, now it's working. Okay, hi.
Hi.
This is just so exciting. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy this like worked out like this.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
You
okay.
Too to the rescue.
I know. It's so like amazing. All right, so I would love for you to introduce yourself. I kind of just told them a little bit about how phenomenal you are, but I would love for you to share as well too.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I can't hear myself. We're going to turn that down.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, guys. I'm Hannah Ashton. So I started working with Lauren back my sophomore year of high school. At that time, I was just mainly doing like YouTube full time. Going all the way back, I started my YouTube channel when I was 10. One of my channels. I was doing American Girl Doll videos and doing stop motions with them, tutorials, and I've basically kept with it over the past 9 years now. So I'm 19. I am going to be a sophomore in college, and now my content has transitioned into women's lifestyle, what I'm studying in college, which is entrepreneurship, my transition, you know, from high school to college. So basically just my life, and also productivity, time management, all the things that I love to learn and self-development, all the videos I like to watch on YouTube over the years. So YouTube has always been my bread and butter, but I've also done a little bit of YouTube consulting. And now I also host live events. I had one back in last August in Knoxville, Tennessee. And then my upcoming event is this Saturday in Chicago, and those are just like great ways for me to meet other influencers, YouTubers, bloggers in the space, share what I've learned, but also learn so much from my attendees as well. And I just, since so much of what I do online is digital, it's so great to connect with people in person. And then most recently, I launched a product, which is the Dream Achieve Workbook Planner. And we can go into details, but yeah, that is a little bit about me.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you guys already know, again, like this is just a testament.
Oh, wait, Lauren, I can't hear you. It says your mic's off, I think.
Oh, let's see. It might be. Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
But yeah, but again, this is just a testament to how impactful you are, influential you are, how just you're such a just go for it type of woman. And I'm just, I'm like so proud, like basically like a proud mom. Yeah, just everything that you're doing. So I want to break everything down. But let's first start with YouTube, because I know that's basically where you started with, and I didn't, it's so crazy because I've known you for like a long time, but I didn't know in the details of like how you started with the American Girl doll and everything. So I really would love to, for you to touch more on that.
Yeah. So in 2010, YouTube was becoming more of a thing, you know, like beauty gurus were hitting the scene, but what I found was the American Girl doll like genre on here. And so it was basically girls my age, younger, a little older, maybe sharing, you know, their dolls. And like I said, doing stop motion tutorials. And I loved the feeling of coming home from school, getting on my dad's iPad and just logging onto my YouTube account and the little YouTube app and just watching these girls and feeling like immersed in this community that was not even physically around me, but it was online. And I loved that feeling. And so I asked my parents if I could have a channel of my own just as a creative outlet when I was little. My parents had me doing like everything. Whatever I wanted to try, they let me. I did all the different kinds of sports. I did dance, musicals, choir. So this was kind of just like a fun hobby to do. I had a little pink laptop and I used that webcam to take like stills of my dolls and I would try to compile it into a stop motion. So very poor quality, but I've just kept with it. And then in middle school, when I was around 13 or 14, I was getting into makeup and hair and like finding a personal style. And so I asked my parents if I could then show my face on my channel and just share my product reviews. Again, low quality, didn't know much about makeup, but I started gaining this community of girls just like me who must have related in some way, because I wasn't really giving much advice or tips, but just like sharing my thoughts. And then, yeah, kept with into high school. I want to say I started making money from monetization in like eighth grade. So that was really great to have a job in, at the end of middle school, when a lot of my peers maybe were starting at, you know, places like Chick-fil-A or where you would normally get a job when you're 15, 16. But I think that matured me really quickly too, because I was starting to work with brands and collaborating with other YouTubers and trying to always like upgrade or like hone in on my skill. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what also got me into Instagram and just social media marketing in general.
Wow. Okay. So I want to highlight, Selena's comment. So what do you do on YouTube as of like right now?
Right now, my content is a mixture of like productivity. So morning routines, how to get organized, how I, you know, lay out my semester in college, my tips for doing and getting good grades while doing other things like running a business. And also just, you know, some fun videos like a closet tour or my style, products that I'm buying right now. That's what I'm finding my content to be.
I think you've definitely basically discovered your niche, right? Like something like content that you love, but it's also content that resonates with your audience. And it's really, really working. It's really growing your audience. So I'm always curious, like, how did you discover that? Because I think that people, when they start YouTube, they kind of dabble in everything, like I still do. So how are you finding what's working, and what is your advice for someone trying to find that works for them?
Yeah. So when you do start, I recommend trying everything, just like you're doing, or many people are doing, because you got to find something that sticks with not only you, but also your audience. Because these videos aren't just staying on your laptop. You know, if it's just a creative outlet and you just want to upload them, it's a place to hold them, that's awesome. But if you want to grow your audience, you have to be providing something for them too. So it's like kind of figuring out where that perfect relationship is with your content between you and your audience. So like I said, I did dolls, I did crafting, I did cooking. I've done a lot of things. Thankfully, I got to do these when I was younger and YouTube was still growing, but you can totally do all this now, like figure out if you like vlogs or if you like sit-down videos or a mixture of both, like how I do. And then once you find maybe a genre, maybe it could be the lifestyle genre, and there's a lot of parts into that. What I like to do is create four or five main pillars mm-hmm. of content that I know I'm going to create in, because I don't just do business and I don't just do college content. I want to encompass a lot of areas of my life. So like my four pillars at the moment are college content, you know, what to bring to college, experiences, mm-hmm. but then also business. So what I'm learning as being an entrepreneurship major, and then also by starting my own business, like what I'm learning, what you can do to grow your brand. And then also productivity is one of them. So that's where I share like my schedule and go into detail about my days and my outlines. And then the fourth pillar is mainly just like my faith and my life. And so I'll throw in like books I'm reading right now, or my devotions that I love, or a vlog of my recent trip, something like that. So I think once you can like write on a piece of paper what your main pillars of your YouTube channel are, then it's not limiting you, but you're also like your audience knows what to expect because they know it's going to be something in one of those pillars.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. I love that. So kind of just speaking about your audience, because I think something genius that you've done is you've really not only built pillars on your YouTube channel, but just in your content in general. Because I mean, you're on the YouTube platform, but also podcasts, also website, also events. And again, that just a blossoming moment that I just think is so cool. And so how did you make that leap of faith to a podcast? Because I know that is something that is like, holy crap, like I really want to do this. It sounds amazing, but like it probably is so much work. So what did that look like for you?
I actually found podcasting to be a lot easier than YouTube.
No way.
And I can go into why and yeah. I think so. But with everything I've done, mm-hmm. I've kind of jumped full in without knowing much about it. Mm. And that's just my personality. I know a lot of people like to research before they do something, but looking back on my recent years, when I wanted to do an event, I said, okay, I'm going to plan this out on the notes app on my phone and, you know, we're going to do it. And a lot of things fell through, a lot of things happened, but I was just like, I'm still going to do this. So we're going to figure it out as we go. And yeah. Google, best friend, other people on Instagram who are doing something similar, like they're your best friends, just reach out. But for podcasting, I started my podcast, I think it was two summers ago. Mm-hmm. And so YouTubers now are, I find it's very common for a YouTuber to start a podcast. But then it was, I feel 2 years ago, it was a lot of people like were either YouTuber podcast, or like Instagram and podcast, Instagram and YouTube. So I was just like, I love listening to podcasts, kind of the same thing I did with YouTube. Like I loved watching YouTube. I want to start a YouTube. I love going to events. I want to try an event. I love listening to podcasts. I'm going to start a podcast. And I still use my video editor. I use for editing videos, which is Final Cut. I already had a mic from my videos, but I definitely don't think you have to have a mic to start a podcast. And my podcast content, I believe, has changed over the years. I started wanting it to be specifically on business and what I've learned. And now I interview women in all different careers, people who are entrepreneurs, who are still in school or maybe still in high school, like who are just doing everything. Mm-hmm. So my podcast content has changed a little bit in that regard, but I find it easier because I don't have to look made up or anything. I don't have to worry about lighting. It's very minimal editing and it's just easy. You upload it and there you go. It's not like a comment section you have to monitor, you know, there's your reviews, but you can't touch the reviews at all. So you just kind of let it be. And I really like that about podcasting. So I definitely recommend it to anyone because I think it's the new and upcoming thing for sure.
I love that. I want to highlight, let's see, Acuna Designs. How do you balance your life with work and your personal life? That's really cool. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Okay. So it's all, what I do is I really schedule out like every day from by the hour, 2 hours or so. And this is actually a big part of my planner too. Like I made sure to have an area every day where you do time blocking, because literally when I wake up, I do my devotions and I figure out what's my day going to look like. And usually what I've been doing this summer that's been really working well, since I don't have to go to class every day, is from like 9 to 2, I do work. And during that time, you know, I'll take a few breaks. I'll eat lunch. I work from home, like my room at home. But like my family knows, my friend knows, okay, that's Hannah's work time. And then in the afternoons around 2 or so is when I will finally venture out and run errands or meet up with friends and spend time with my family. And I find that works well for my friends too, because a lot of them have summer jobs and have more free time in the evening. So that's how I manage my work and friend life during the summer. When I was in college, it was a little more everywhere because I would see my friends like throughout the day. I lived with my friends, you know, just walking around. So it was more like sporadic. I would do an hour of work and then go get lunch with my friends and then go back and do an hour of work and go to class and then hang out with friends. It's more all throughout the day. During the summer, I have it like blocked off.
I love that. Okay. So speaking of planning, I desperately want to get into what you just launched because, so can I tell you, my reaction, it was so funny. So I was on the couch. We were like watching like Fixer Upper or something with Eddie. Mm-hmm. And, and I knew that you were counting down to something and I was like, okay, so either I was thinking it was going to be like a clothing line or like, I did think about a planner and then I actually thought about maybe she's going to start her own magazine too. Like it just all these things. And so then it launched and I looked at it. I was like, holy crap. It looks so good. I was so excited. I was like, there's like, because when you think of like a planner and a workbook and there's so much detailing that goes into it. And I'm really awful. I love buying planners just for the look of them. And I don't tend to actually utilize them, but when I was looking through in your pages and everything, it's like you could literally utilize every single page. And so I just want to hear the journey in creating that because I was just in awe of that product.
Oh, thank you, Lauren. I'm so excited. And I just, because you first got me into like publications because with the magazine, it was like a printed thing. And I remember receiving the first one in the mail when it was still Trend. And I was like, this is so cool that I can actually hold the work that she's done and that I've helped with. Like, I thought that was so cool. And I never thought I would do something with paper. But I actually have it here next to me. Mine's a little dirty because I take it everywhere. But here it is, guys. You can find more. I think she put the link in the description box. So thank you. Okay, let's go back 10 months or so. So when I first had the idea, I was in my dorm room. I remember I was curling my hair and I was thinking about my planning process and just all the things I've learned and how the content that's requested the most on my channel is productivity, like time management. The same question I just got about like balancing work and life. And I, at the time, was using two planners, one because it had like a to-do list section and I was putting my school assignments in and making sure those got done. And then the other one had time blocking, which I was using to plan out my work days. And I was like, okay, two planners, this is annoying. What would it look like if I had my own, I was thinking of like worksheets at first or just something very simple. So I took a piece of paper and started planning out, okay, this is what I would want my weekly spread to look like. This is what I want my daily spread to look like. What else would I want in a planner? Okay, I love planning routines. I want somewhere where I can plan my routines, plan my workouts, plan my meals when I'm really on top of it. All the things like content calendar, everything that I do on a monthly basis to plan for a productive month or week, I wanted in this. But it terrified me to actually create it because I have very little graphic design experience, no idea of how to actually manufacture something. Like, where do I begin? And so I started looking for like local manufacturers in Nashville. I just set up a meeting and was like, okay, I don't know anything about paper, but tell me what you know. I didn't end up working with the Nashville company just because getting it printed locally was so expensive, way out of my budget for a first product. And they really didn't have what I wanted. So I was like, okay, well, let's just Google, like, how are people making planners? How are people making books? And I found the best way was to outsource it. So I went on Alibaba and just looked at all the different products, all the different things that I can make. And it's really fun just to look at what you can personalize through there. And I had a lot of meetings with my friends because I realized also that all the girls in my class, like whenever the teacher would say an assignment or the professor would say an upcoming assignment, all the girls would like grab their planners. And I was like, okay, we are Gen Z now and no one is putting the assignments in on their phone. Like, why are all the girls bringing out something paper still? I do too, but I was surprised that everyone else was. And so I knew this was a product that girls my age were still using and still wanting. So I interviewed a lot of my friends, took them to coffee. It was like, okay, what does your planner look like? Show me it. What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? Took lots of notes, did some surveys through Instagram stories. And then when I found a product through Alibaba that really resonated with me, like I love the look, I love the gold foiling, I love the sleekness, that is when I started Googling how to work InDesign, which is what I use. Did you use that for the letter?
I did, yeah. I'm like, all of this sounds so familiar.
Yes, I know. I probably could have just like hopped on a call with you and you could have saved me a lot of time, but I didn't even think about it. You were on to new things too. Moving to San Francisco. Then I taught myself InDesign because I thought about hiring a graphic designer. And again, it just wasn't in my budget for my first product. So I said, okay, you know, I have some time. I wouldn't launch this till the summer because it's too late to do it for like Christmas, New Year's season. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back to school. So I just Googled again, like, how to do some planner designs in InDesign, and just slowly, very slow process, working on maybe a couple pages at a time. Took a couple weeks per page to finalize it. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of morphed into what it is now, which is a workbook planner. Mm-hmm. So the beginning of it, it's called the Dream Achieve Workbook. I don't even think I said the name. It's the Dream Achieve Workbook because the beginning part is all about like setting your dreams and your intentions and your goals. There's visualization, there's figuring out what your side hustle is. Long-term, short-term goals, all of that. And then the achieve portion, I explain in the book, you know, how you get from your goals to achieving them and to like having the life or the career, whatever that you want, is in your daily practices. So then we have a 6-month undated planner. So that, you know, whenever you buy this, since it's kind of the middle of the year already, I wanted to make it undated so that you can pick it up whenever and still be able to utilize it. And so you have like a normal planner month spread. And then in each month are all the aspects of my content that people love. So like figuring out a content calendar and a budget and your habits and your routines. So you can kind of figure that out every month if you want. And then the weekly spread is what I explained. It's where you have a to-do list on one side for your Monday. And then on the other side, you have your time blocking for that day. So you get the best of both worlds in that. And then at the end, we just have like some reflection prompts and journaling. And yeah, that's the book.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, one, I'm pre-ordering for sure.
It's on pre-order.
Yes. I know. I'm like already like promoting for you, but I think it's so something that I also wanted to chat with you about. When I was creating my magazine, a lot of what I ran into just within myself, one, self-doubt for sure, because when you've never done something before, you're it's almost like, you know, that's like your child, right? Like you're basically like birthing this like idea and like producing it. So and actually, before I get into that, I want to know, what was the moment like when you held it in your hands? Because I know with my magazine, it was like everything. So what was that moment like for you?
I actually filmed it on my phone. It was in December. And so it'll be in a vlog. And it's actually, it'll be in a vlog because I started vlogging in December, like all the ups and downs. Because there was also my second semester of first year of college was just a lot of emotions happening from life and then work and school. So I made sure to capture all the meltdowns to show you that it's not like this is pretty and perfect and exciting. But the first time I held it was, I knew actually from the outside of the sample looked like this. Mm-hmm. And I had a few different color options, but I saw the black and I saw it like this. And I'm like, got it. That is what I want. Perfect. And it was really surreal. It was like, okay, this is actually a thing. Like I'm putting money in this now, like no going back, put the down payment in, here we go. The inside designs were far from being completed. I kind of just sent them my ideas so far. And so that when I finally got the inside with the designs in May, I also filmed that. And it was, again, just like, okay, this is a real thing. This people are going to give me money and I'm going to give them my baby. So here we go. It's really cool, but also scary because you think about it being in someone else's house and in their hands, and it's like, what are they going to think? How are they going to take this? Is it going to be enough? Is it going to be too much? Mm-hmm. You never know.
Totally. Yeah. And I think if anything that I learned, just from my own product is that when you do create something like that, the coolest thing is that you do touch people in a different way, right? Because it's like this thing that, like you said, it's in their homes, it's in their hands, and it's something that they will take with them like forever. That's what I love about print, is that it is so timeless and is so, you know, just this novelty, you know, effect. But I think, again, with a planner, there's so many like dreams and ideas and things that go into that, that people will be writing on your pages doing that. And I think that's what is so surreal about it. And I think that is what also is so exciting about it. And I think with me, my only biggest fear was that, kind of like what you mentioned, that it wasn't going to be good enough. Like, I thought, you know, I kind of had this level of like perfection. But a lesson that I learned and that I'm continuing to learn is that that's something that, one, does not exist, and two, that we don't need to achieve to be. And it's like, and I honestly, it's so interesting as a creator, you know, we create, we dream, we do all those things. So I'm not necessarily sure where that idea of perfection stems from, but I think it's just us being our own worst critics, you know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Kind of, how do you cope with that voice in your head that isn't always so kind with your work and then also with yourself?
Yeah, so two things. One being, just personally, what I'm trying to learn is that my business, what I do, the content I make, that is an extension of me, but it's not me. And you kind of have to have like tough skin with this, especially on YouTube and things, because people will like knock down your content and knock down you personally in it. And I kind of, I'm still struggling with this, but trying to say, okay, if this is a total flop or my events are a total flop, whatever I do, them failing, that's just a business idea failing. Like, that's not me personally failing.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, I've heard that from like a lot of different podcasts and stuff, and it keeps popping up, so I know it's something I need to really learn.
Because
you put your heart and soul into it as a creative, and you want people to love it because you want that love too. You want that like exception, like validation. That's how we're raised, like in school with a grading system, like your life, your career, based on how good you are, these certain things at a certain time. So we want that validation, but we have to realize that it comes from something different than our work, which is hard for me because I am a workaholic. Like, I love working on what I do because I love what I do. So that's hard. The other thing, going from more of like a business perspective, is when I had mentor sessions with a professor or like senior entrepreneurship majors at my college, they all said that with the first product, like what you learn in school is to do a minimum, what is it called? There's a specific word, but like minimum value, something where it's not like at its best. Like, you don't want to put all your money into it at this point, because if it's a fail, then you lose all that money. So like, you do the minimum and see how it does in the market. And then if it does well, then you can create a better product. And I thought about that a lot, but I feel like it changed a bit for me since I already have an audience and they're going to be expecting something of quality. And I obviously want to give them the best that I can. So I've had to find that balance of realizing, okay, this is my first product and there's going to be things that people love about it, or things people hate about it and hate the way I do the marketing or the website, whatever. But it's all a learning experience and it's just going to get better each time. Like, I'm hoping I can always continue to improve if it's a workbook I'm creating or whatever products or content. But I did also, you know, not want to take the total business student approach and actually like make sure I was investing in it and making sure it looked pretty and matched my aesthetic and my brand. So it was a bit of both with that.
But I love that balance. And I think, you know, you will elevate as you go, right? And I think that's something too that I learned from all the things that I've created, like, and just understanding that they were just stepping stones to where I'm ultimately going to be. And I think that's what's so cool about it, is that there's not this end destination, right? Like, it's really about the journey, as many song lyrics say. And so hi Bubs, he's just gonna make an appearance in this show. But that's what's so exciting about it, because it honestly, the sky is really just the limit. And I'm just so pumped for you. So, but before we go, I really love asking my guests just to give their advice on, you know, going for your dream. Cause I'm always, preaching and saying like, just go for it. Like, that you can do it, you know, that whole bit. But I love to just kind of hear what you have to say, about that.
Yeah, that's so hard because it is easy. I mean, my brand now is like dream achieve. Like, yeah, you can do this. And it's like, okay, where do I start? And I would say is to figure out what's stopping you first. Like have a little, what do they call it? Just me session, like really get into your head. Because it's easy to like write out some journal entries and be like, okay, but no, like take 30 minutes if it takes that long, an hour, whatever it takes. And figure out, okay, this is where I'm at. Let's say it's starting a YouTube channel. What's stopping me? Maybe my outer excuses are like, oh, it's going to take too much time. Oh, you know, I don't have the right equipment. Most likely, though, those things, if you really want to do this and you're really passionate about it, that's not what's going to stop you. It's going to be, okay, what will my friends think about me? Oh, what if my family thinks I'm weird now? Like, what if people watch my videos in class and, you know, I'm just sitting there embarrassed? It's probably those, like, inner things that going all like philosophy look at it. It's probably things like you picked up maybe in childhood or like growing up, those insecurities, and it's just built up and now you're putting all that insecurity into this one dream and it's stopping you from pursuing that dream or that project. So yeah, I would figure out like what it is that's really stopping you. For me, for this workbook, it was worrying that people around me or like my viewers or other, it was honestly the other YouTubers who were bigger than me thought that I wasn't ready. I wasn't worth making a product because my YouTube following is, I love my YouTube following, but it's not the biggest. It's not, you know, I don't have millions of subscribers, not a Shane Dawson, Jaclyn Hill, like those people who are putting out products. Mm-hmm. That was my fear. It was like other YouTubers were going to look at me and be like, who does she think she is putting this together? And then once I figured that out, I was like, okay, but I will probably never meet YouTubers in person or they're never going to share that with me. And so why should I let that stop me? So it's really just figuring out those underlying insecurities and then coming up with a thought or a mantra that's the opposite. And it's not going to go away like that. But if you start working a little day by day and reminding yourself like your true reason you want to do this, mm-hmm. then those other voices, you know, are gonna pipe down a little bit and you'll become a little bit more fearless in your pursuits. Totally. So that's what I would have to say.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. That just like makes my heart sore because I think that's so important to hear. And it kind of reminded me actually of a Shania Twain song. Just give them something to talk about because they're gonna talk anyways. So I think that's just a true testament to that. And and I'm just, again, like, I'm so proud of you, and I think that, you know, there should definitely be more women, more people who empower each other, inspire each other, be excited for each other, and it doesn't take away from your own success. And so, mm-hmm. I hope that more people see that and celebrate that, and I'm just so pumped for you. So, and also before we go, I definitely want you to share about your event in case there are some people in Chicago who watch this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so if you are in the Chicago area or the suburbs, whatever, this Saturday, June 22nd, I am co-hosting an event at Evolve Her Studio, and the event's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's mainly focused on growing your blog and your influence, especially in an area like Chicago, where there may be a lot of competition, but it's still not as big as like L.A. So definitely come hang out. We'll have so much fun. You can learn more at our Instagram, which is Chicago Creates Event, or on Eventbrite. If you search Chicago Creates, it should come up as well.
Yay. Oh, so, so happy. Are you happy, Bubs? Gosh, Hannah, thank you so much for being on here. And like, you're my first guest on my YouTube channel and doing this. I'm so excited. So pumped. And this is going to live on my channel forever, which I'm so happy to finally say that. And my God, yes. The whole 24-hour thing kills me every single
time. All your work.
I know. And then maybe eventually this might the audio might be, I might upload as a podcast as well. So we'll see that for sure. But thank you so much again.
Yeah, no, thank you. I hope you're doing well. I love catching up with you. And
oh, I know. We need to do like a real catch up, like a real like FaceTime date call.
I know. And it's so funny because I've been on some podcasts recently promoting and stuff. And I always bring up being with the letter. Like, you're always a part of my story. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm honored.
So thankful for our friendship.
Oh, my God. Same. No. And you're a part of mine. So I love you so much. And thank you so much again.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.